Good morning.
Brian is the host now.
Wait, I guess I have it muted.
I hear you.
Ah, there you are.
Am I muted? No.
No. I had my actual speakers down for some reason. Hello.
What's up?
Ryan is our he's like the criminal informant on a TV show.
Oh, because I'm that's the bad thing about the setup is that I have to have a lot of front lighting going on, like blinding front lighting, when I'm on Zoom calls. I'm not backlit, but I don't feel like doing that today because you guys know what I look like.
Yeah, it's cool. You just be the man in the dark.
Yes. I was rewatching the most recent episode while I was getting ready, and was on IMDb and found out that Bear was Puddle on Running Wild, and I did not pick up on that.
Oh, wait, that's the little girl. Wait, what's Running Wild?
Running Wild
was the show with Will Arnett.
Yeah, okay.
Peter Serafinowicz.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Oh. And was it Carrie Russell?
Mitch Hurwitz show.
About like a guy who lived on a platform or?
No. I think that may have been one episode. But he was like a...
Like a rich... Go ahead.
Yeah, he was like an oil dynasty as Will Arnett. And then his neighbor was Peter Serafinowicz, who was like...
Fahad,
who was like a foreign, like dignitary or something like that. But then, like, he would bust out Alan Alda impressions randomly in the episode.
Oh yeah, that's totally her. Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell was in it. It was. Oh. I remember. I really liked it. And then there was like a Community.
The guy like,
there's
from
an episode Community where there's yeah.
The guy from Last Man on Earth was in it. He was like the groundskeeper. Maybe a butler.
Oh.
If you've seen The Last Man on Earth, Christian Schaal shows up in the first episode, and then another dude shows up in the second one. That dude.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. I keep wanting to say Miguel. His name might have been Miguel on Running Wild, but...
Yeah. Well, after this, let's do a Running Wild rewatch.
It was like, what, one season?
I don't even think it was a season.
It was really funny.
My memory of that show is super vague. Like, when you said, your sentence was like, I found out that Bear was Puddle on Running Wild, I thought, oh, God, I just had a stroke. I don't know what words mean anymore. It's too bad for me.
You lived a good life.
That's it for me.
One season, 2 years, one nomination.
For what?
IMDb changed. After like 30 years, IMDb decided to change how things are shown on here.
Where it's got that weird setup on the bottom of like everyone's pictures rather than just giving me a list.
But tell me, episode guide 13.
Woo.
Always tiny, always up at the top where you pass by it.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Totally. Oh, David Cross is in an episode. What is this dude's name? I'm going to find out right now. Hold on. Oh, my weekly report is up. Mel Rodriguez. Mel Rodriguez. He's in Last Man on Earth as...
I know who you're talking about. I can picture the guy now.
Oh, my God. He's in so many things.
Dude, when he grows a mustache, he does it right. I'm looking at him, some pictures of him here on Google Images.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of him and Will Forte with half-shaved heads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Last Man on Earth, it's great. I can't recommend it enough. I think we're talking about it before. But Will Forte shaved half of his face, including his eyebrows and beard, for the show for some reason and had to do that for like a whole season and then clearly do that in real life.
Right.
Yeah, he showed up at the Emmys or something.
Yeah.
Like on the red carpet in a tuxedo, I think, if I remember correctly.
I can't.
And half a tuxedo.
I can't say enough about Last Man on Earth. He got it from Willy Wonka's office. Which makes no sense.
I took another picture of something in this week's episode, but it came out super blurry, and I can't find it. I must have taken it off my phone and put it on my computer, so I'm just going to talk about it, okay. Which I know is not as good. If I find it afterwards, I'll send it to you.
Do a screenshot.
Recording in progress.
Oh, shit.
I did it!
Okay, so I found that if you try to screen record something on a Mac and you're using Safari, it won't let you do it. It's got all the copyright bullshit. Right. But if you use Chrome, you could do anything you want.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, I'm grabbing clips for, like, my Star Wars show off of Disney Plus. It's great. So if you have Chrome, you can probably just do a screenshot.
I'll give that a try.
Because Chrome's like, I don't give a fuck. Screenshot stuff. People know what stuff looks like.
It's none of my business. I'm just Chrome.
Yeah.
Leave me out of it. What's going on, guys? How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
We took last week off.
Yeah, it was a bit of a, like, the recording time was a bit of a hassle for both you and myself.
Yeah, I know you had to, like, reroute the encryptions or something.
So apparently Rectum had some outages going on, and it affected my internet. So...
Oh, not your! I actually thought like you had like explosive diarrhea or something.
Now
I get it.
That's our code word.
But it sucked because like, it took me like 20 minutes to just get on Zoom to begin with, and then on Sundays around 11 or 1, I have my weekly Fireball Island game, which apparently was mentioned on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast this week, which is weird.
By who?
By Michael.
Okay.
But that's via Zoom as well. And like, so the screen would constantly freeze. And so they said, do you want to move ahead? Which way do you want to go? And I'm like, I have no idea. My piece is still way over here, according to my timeline. Like trying to do it. Like I did an update on Zoom on my computer while trying to log on via my iPad. It was a mess. So my computer was fucked. And like, I didn't even get on the Zoom until like 9:20 to do the podcast. And you were dealing with your own thing. And
yeah, I was trying to get out.
I was just like, fuck it. Every podcast I know is taking 4th of July off. We are too. That's it.
We've decided to be patriotic.
It was, it was fucking rough. And so the problem is I get up on Sunday mornings when we record. We record at 9 on Sunday mornings. I get up, watch the episode at 8, and then record. So I don't have to take notes. So it's been a week.
And now it's not fresh.
It's not fresh. So I went in real quick and just scrubbed the episode. Like 10 seconds at a time, so I should be good, but you may have to steer the conversation a little bit more.
that's fine. Like I appreciate you letting me defer, because last Sunday I was running around like a chicken with my head off, trying to get ready to get out of the house.
Okay,
and it was just like I have to cut watermelon and make potato salad and you know all the stuff. Yeah. So
the one thing that I will say about our last episode, I just want to bring this up. And it was mentioned on this episode that the flowers are purple. I fully 100% know that the flowers are purple, and I always have known that the flowers are purple.
Okay.
Last episode, I kept calling them blue flowers just because I wanted to play the Dr. Octagon song. Literally, that was all premeditated. It was totally premeditated. Like, I know it's purple. And I'm like, if I say blue, I can, like, if anybody brings it up and argues with me, I can say, well, you know, with the desaturation of the show and the color grading, like, it kind of has a blue tint. No, I literally wanted to play the song Blue Flowers.
But, you know what?
It's a great song.
Well played.
You and know, I know. I'm wearing my glasses today. Have you ever gotten a zit on the bridge of your nose?
Yes.
I've never had that. It's really bad.
I suggest using vodka on your glasses. That is what I use to keep things clean.
Man, I've been putting it in my mouth.
I'm wearing my glasses to cover it. I don't normally wear my glasses.
Oh, I understand. Oh. I thought you were saying because of irritation or grossness on the bridge, that's why you have a zit on your whatever.
No, because I wear my glasses. I wear my glasses up here, which doesn't help.
Oh, yeah. That is very noticeable on Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, there's a toggle that does like a auto airbrushing. I'm not saying that's just a random thought that came in.
Will it also give me freckles and deer antlers?
Aw, that would be adorable.
Speaking of deer antlers, what is with the, like, okay, so, like, Facebook, I hate it, but it, like, ladies, this is a PSA for you. We all know it's filters. We all know you're using the crazy filters. It's crazy. The filters.
Too much filters out there these days, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
We all know
you don't have deer ears.
but if they did, I hope they would be puppeteered.
We prefer practical effects,
ladies. Just so you know, men prefer practical effects to CGI.
Yeah. I'm done with the CGI rainbows coming out of your mouth. Let's get some... Get some cellophane, some markers. I don't know what you have to do.
Maybe a scrim or a mat. Do it like a mat shot.
Yeah. That's good. Surprised you didn't do that before.
That doesn't work.
Just for three of us.
Yeah, that's, three of us are important, in my opinion.
Can you imagine a mat painting? The burrito?
I can't imagine what he would...
It would be a painting of a torta.
And he would eat it afterwards. He would paint it super realistically, like Wile E. Coyote, and then he would end up eating it.
Put salt on it, like Woody Woodpecker.
Matt is both Wile E. Coyote.
Spit out the seeds. Why did you paint seeds into your torta?
Just to keep going with the gag, that's all. Oh, jeez. I was talking with Ryan. I was texting Ryan... on Friday, I was listening to the Beatles, and of course, I was like, Ryan probably wants to know that. he's probably not busy. He wants to know what I'm doing. And through the course of our conversation, I came up with, like, I was thinking, oh, God, I got to send him, like, a meme. I have to make a meme on Frankie Yak and send it to him. It's going to make him laugh. And I got myself in this position that I've been in several times before where I realized, oh, no, it's only making me laugh. Like, I'm the one that's laughing as I'm trying to make this meme. I'm not even sure if he'll care, but... But I get so much enjoyment out of doing it that I do it anyway. Like, that's the basis.
And we ended up making almost the exact same meme.
Yeah, exactly.
To each other.
Yeah.
I was talking with Ryan via text and came up with a meme, I guess. Haven't completed it yet, but I looked on the internet and I haven't seen it anywhere. Is Jewish Slater?
Oh.
Which is Christian Slater with, like, the hat and the curls, like the Orthodox.
I was picturing A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell. I didn't get the joke at first, but...
Yeah, but
I knew the joke, and I thought the same thing, too, in this conversation.
Jewish Slater.
With the hat and the curls, so I gotta make that up.
I was in line at a corner bakery with a friend from work, and... Also having a text exchange with Ralph, and I was trying to communicate something. And Organa, the Kissing Bandit, came up. So,
of course.
So it was, and in like, I don't know, less than a minute, Ralph sends me a picture of Jimmy Smits's head on Morgana, the Kissing Bandit's body. And it was...
Bail Morgana.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
I was thinking about, because after I was thinking about Jewish Slater, I was like, oh, also like Jewish Bale. And then I thought of Christian Bale Organa.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I could do that, but that's not fun. That's boring.
League of Nations. Yeah, I get
that. Wow.
Speaking of Jimmy Smits, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
What did they do?
Tampa Bay? they won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, wow.
And I want to say Kevin Stone is a fan. He lives in Tampa Bay, Florida. So
every time I hear Kevin Stone's name, I was like, the older brother from Mr. Belvedere? But that is not Kevin Stone. Somebody with who spells and pronounces his name differently.
Yeah, that's Marilyn Manson.
As we all know.
Yeah. R.I.P. Marilyn Manson. Speaking of Marilyn Manson,
what's in the freezer?
Sweet Tooth. What's in the freezer?
What's in the freezer? So, hi guys, these are the Darmalars. These are the Darmalars of our lives. I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph.
And we got producer Ryan. I'm trying to remember how it goes on that song in Revenge of the Nerds. You know, we got Lewiston Tilly or whatever on the mic. But I don't remember it, so I can't do it. So we're talking about Sweet Tooth.
Well, why don't you rehearse and next week come back to us?
Yeah.
We'll cut that part out. The talking over part.
We'll cut it out. We'll all stand around with giant scissors like the grand opening of something and just...
We'll get Dave Coulier's assistance. So we used to talk about Lost, but there's no Lost.
Yeah, let's talk about Sweet Tooth. Episode 5?
Episode 5 out of 8. We're right in the corner.
We did predictions on who said and what they were referring to as what's in the freezer. And I think we thought hybrid stuff.
Right.
But it turns out it was that lady that got kicked by a horse.
Yep. Nancy.
Fuck it, she's dead. There's a horse on the street.
Dr. Octagon again. Yeah. The Sings have put dear old Nancy in the freezer at the little sheriff. Because I guess they haven't found a time to dispose of the body.
The doctor is like still trying to do everything the right way. And I feel like the wife is maybe a bad influence.
She's definitely a bad influence. He would not have gone and ordered the secret sauce without the wife. But his motivation is very clear. He loves his wife and he wants her to stay alive forever. And her motivation is clear too. Like, yeah, she's going to be a bad influence on him because she wants to stay alive. It's like, if you think about like a toxic relationship, let's say it's like a man is a musician and his wife is like pushing him to do the wrong thing or something out of her greed, like kind of Spinal Tap. Mm-hmm. Where the wife is like, oh, let's do Jazz Odyssey because I think your star chart says that. And it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. For the fans, that's not the same as Mrs. Singh wanting to stay alive.
So do I feel like this, I had a theory and this episode didn't make me change my mind on the theory, whereas bad people are being targeted and wiped out with the disease.
That makes sense. Yeah, you're right. It has not been disconfirmed by this because we haven't seen anyone extra get the disease this time.
Right, but his wife is getting more...
worse.
Yes, she's getting worse, and she's becoming more evil.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
It's like the flowers are pinpointing their house now.
Right, and they don't... she must be... I think it might be the fact that they ran out of the serum, so her symptoms are getting worse, and so the flowers are coming in.
Right.
They're saying like, look, someone sick is here. And they asked for the secret sauce and they got their package. And once again, there's no hybrids in it.
Right. And is that because they're running low?
They said out of hybrids. There was a note that said out of hybrids.
So is there a place where they're keeping them until they're needed? It's really weird.
I think that they just can't find it anymore. Like, either people aren't reproducing because they know they're going to make hybrids or because there's not that many people, or maybe they've already hunted them all up. And it's so there's the preserve, right?
Right.
So it might just be the fact that all the hybrids that haven't made it to the preserve yet, they've already hunted them up in the area. Hmm. You know, they've overfished the supply.
Hmm.
So that's a bummer for him because on two levels, because he went to the point where he's going to actually order the secret sauce, which is, you know, bad. He's now done a bad thing, but he's in it, you know, penny in for a pound.
Yeah.
Wants to save his wife. And then they get the note, sorry, you can't do murder on a hybrid today. Yeah. And he's disappointed.
Well, the thing is, that box was small enough, you know. I don't think he's getting full hybrids or is going to kill him. I think he's getting the gland.
They would have given him parts.
Because he was surprised by the note, which means he was expecting whatever he was getting to be in that little box. I guess it was a pretty big box, but still.
I don't think it was the size of a kid, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
For the Sings, they live in a place called Rockbridge. Yeah. And they have a flyer for Nancy. It looks like there's like 8 people in their town. Can't you just go to each person and say, hey, Nancy's missing?
I guess so. I don't know.
Maybe we just haven't seen.
What's with all the flyers?
Yeah, right.
Everyone has paper and printers and cartridges after 10 years?
If you think about it, right? I'm just thinking about this now, but like, you're going to drink all the Gatorade. You're going to drink the Gatorade as soon as you find it. But no one has to make a flyer, so there's still plenty of room for flyers.
I guess so.
It's like how we said the candy corn would still be around.
Right. And the Gatorade that tastes like cucumber.
Oh, I like that one.
Okay, you can have it. I'll trade you for your circus peanuts.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I like the cucumber, but I don't drink it these days because I'm only drinking the sugar-free ones, and it's not one of the sugar-free varieties.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm grateful they have what they have.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, the Sings, they get caught. Mm-hmm. The nurse, waitress, receptionist, whoever she is, sees Nancy in the freezer. And now they're busted. So the whole town, all 5 of them show up and overpower them and tie them up Last Crusade style.
Right.
And there's this moment where I wrote down that Sing almost had them fooled with an I think you should leave style rant. We're so focused on our phones. We don't even look at each other. So
you didn't even bother to learn my name.
We've been talking all afternoon.
By the way, I blasted through season 2.
Me too.
And it makes me sad. I tried. I watched it over the course of 3 days.
Whoa.
And it still was like, it's over too quick.
No, it is. It was. I did less than you because I watched it like one episode one night, another episode the other night, and then the third night I hit the pedal to the metal.
The problem is they're short. And then also when it says watch the next episode, I feel like it only gives you like 3 seconds and then like it puts you right into a sketch. And so it's like, oh, I'm just continuing to watch this.
It's another sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In my opinion, the second season is equally as good as the first. Mm-hmm. The only difference is it's not new. Like that's what I have to say about the second season.
So it's like more of the same.
I think it's exactly as good as the first season. Like, there's no slump in quality. The only difference for me experiencing it is, okay, there's just maybe a little bit less because you know, now I know the style, sort of. Which I could not tell you in words. I don't know what he's done, but I think he's done something different.
I think Ryan might need to unmute himself, because here's the thing. I took a class at UCB on sketch writing. And in UCB, Ryan, you've studied UCB, right?
I'm aware of their coursework, yeah.
So what they teach you, first and foremost, is, quote, the game. And the game is you do the setup of what the sketch is going to be within the first or second line. So you can kind of tell, like, UCB people on SNL when it, like, just goes. And you could tell when it's not, when it's, like, this big preamble and then they start the sketch.
Uh-huh.
There's a certain performer that writes that way on SNL that I do not care for.
Okay.
I know which one.
And I could go on all day long about that guy. So Tim Robinson does this thing where you get it right away. You understand the game right out the gate.
Uh-huh.
But somewhere in the middle of it, he decides, we're going to go a different direction.
Right.
And completely change everything.
Right.
And then we're just going to stop it on a joke that's so, like, disconnected from everything else. And it's just, like, it just catches you off guard.
It
keeps you on your toes. It, like, none of the sketches feel like a complete thought. It feels like we had a thought. That thought's boring. Let's do this. And then I don't know how we're going to get out of this. So let's just, like, look at my phone and yell at it or whatever. And it's hilarious.
It is. Yeah.
It's a weird, it's a weird structure for sure.
Because a lot
I think both of those things are UCB trademarks too, because they teach heighten and explore, like, okay, where else can you take this that you're not expecting? And then whenever they do ASCAT, if you've ever seen an ASCAT performance, and they, which is also kind of the structure of the UCB TV show, like, they'll cut a scene, like, they'll leave the audience wanting more. They'll just, like, cut the scene on a random piece and then jump to another storyline and then pick up. So
what happens is when they're improvising back and forth, if someone tells a really killer joke, everyone in the troupe knows it, and they just, that's it, it's over. Can't get better than that.
Right.
And so they'll go into something else. So, for example, the hot dog sketch where he crashes his hot dog mobile into the thing. The joke obviously is it's the guy with the hot dog suit.
Right.
And then once you kind of, we all get the joke, but now it's about him doing this crazy speech about the world.
Right.
And then it just ends with him yelling at the cops to get their assholes and gets away. But it, season two is great.
He's training a bit now, I think, on recognizing his face. Like, there's maybe the funniest rack focus I've ever seen is the courtroom sketch where they're, like, talking about his dumb hat, and then they rack focus to him in the galley.
Devastated. Just devastated. But the, I don't know. It's, it's great. Because he picks these weird, like, situations that we all have seen. It reminds me of Stella a little bit. Where you already know the trope.
Right.
So we're going to skip explaining it and just tell you the punchline of that trope. And you're kind of stuck catching up. But but the very first, one of the first sketches, at least I don't understand the order that they put these in. The way Netflix is set up on Apple TV is confusing. I'm like, which one's the first episode? Top to bottom or bottom to top? But it's a situation where everybody's been in where someone has a meeting, but it's during lunchtime.
As far as I know, that's the first sketch of the season.
Okay. And he is holding the longest fucking hot dog. And then he walks into the meeting looking like his arm's in a sling, and you can see the hot dog sticking out of the sleeve.
I know.
And then it just escalates into something else. Like,
I was on board from that moment on. Any doubts or fears I had that second season was going to let me down was completely erased the moment he walked into that boardroom.
I love that it's just about stubborn people. Yes. And stubborn people not letting up and not admitting they're wrong.
Committing to something and then overcommitting to it, and then where that takes you. to be so committed to, like, the babysitter ran over a couple people, but they were just nothing people, that leads you to pushing the guy's hand into the dip.
Yeah, so watch that, everybody.
Watch it. So Dr. Singh, they're all tied up, and he goes on this rant, like a Tim Robinson rant, and it was like, it's almost going to work, and then they're like, nah, we're going to burn you anyway. And then General Abbott comes and saves them. And like, I know we talk about this every week, but I was never really worried for Dr. Singh, because I haven't seen him have to cut up a hybrid kid yet, and I think that they're leading us to that.
I was ready for him to die. Like, I was like, oh, this is how it ends. Like, they'd laid the trail for Abbott earlier, so I was like, oh, maybe he'll come in and save them. But I was like, if he dies, I think it's run its course. This is ending well.
Now, I have a question about General Abbott.
Okay.
Have we seen him do anything bad?
Yes. So, I sent a picture to the chat. Did you guys see it?
Nope.
I did.
I think to look at the chat.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be chatting while we're talking.
Yeah.
So that
this episode starts off with him doing something bad.
Exactly. Or is he? he just walks into her house with a needle. They all have guns that can all kill her. Maybe he's just trying to give people vaccines, dude. We don't know.
I don't believe that because I think that the needle looked just like the one that Pubba went to fight those dudes with. When he he had his poo stick of the
sick on a stick,
sick on a stick.
But we don't know what's in there, right? For sure.
No, technically we don't.
What a weird way, to just have
it's
that.
Cruel. It's the cruelest way to take care of her. I think in his head, it's probably poetic justice because what we're talking about is he goes at the very beginning. General Abbott goes and visits the previous doctor that had been in Rockbridge, and she is retired and she doesn't have cancer, and so she told him she had the sick. So in his mind, he's punishing her by making her not a liar anymore. Here you go. Now you've got the sick, like you said. And as we begin, the narrator's talking about Father Time, this picture I'm showing you.
Yeah.
And there's a billboard next to where the doctor's living, which, by the way, she's living in the middle of an empty field. It seems like an odd place for a billboard.
Yeah.
And I can't tell exactly what it's advertising, maybe his watch, but it's a guy that says, "Your time has come." Mm-hmm. And is that James Brolin?
I think it's James Brolin. Yeah. I think it's Jimmy B. So and then I interpreted it, I don't know why, but I made the connection to Lion Estates in Back to the Future. Right. And I thought it was a billboard for the housing development that was being constructed behind him.
There's an explosion behind him, though.
I'm not smart. I don't say smart things. No, but what I thought.
I get that. So yeah, it does appear to be fire or something behind him. And don't they burn the doctor in her house? Or does he just give her the thing? I guess I don't remember.
I think he just gives her the thing. But we don't know. I don't know. It seems weird to inject someone with the sick when you have,
guns.
A ton of guns.
Yeah, I hear you.
Have we seen a gun fired yet? Do they have bullets?
That's a great question. How quickly did they go through the bullets? Did the bullets go more quickly than the Gatorade?
Probably one for one because you're doing target practice with the bottles.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? I think that the last men that were taking Big Man and Gus before they got rescued by the animal army, I think they fired some rounds into the forest.
Yeah. It's this General Abbott. I don't think we have enough information on him.
You're right. To think of him as just automatically the bad guy is just an informed characteristic. It's just look at this guy. Everyone we've seen so far, we are going to call the good guys because we've been following them.
Yeah.
So he's the bad guy. But it might be one of those more complex cases where his motivation is understandable, where you're oh, God, do I have sympathy for this guy?
And then again, anyone who's binged the series is you guys are a couple of idiots.
What a bunch of maroons.
We already know.
Mm-hmm.
He's Gus's mom.
Dun, dun, dun. I will say that the doctor totally sold out Dr. Singh. She was he was like, "Where's the book? I want the book. I gave it to Dr. Singh. Go get it from him." All right. Damn. So I think that Gladys, the doctor, is the woman that when the last man came up to General Abbott and said, "We found her."
Oh, okay.
I think he's talking about her, not Bear or not.
That's the last time we saw them, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Now we talk about Gus and his longest dream so far,
right,
which was pretty cool.
Now we didn't talk about the last dream on the school bus. I don't think.
No, I don't think.
Which there really wasn't much there. I'm sure it's important to the story, and we'll find that out. But this dream was interesting.
Yeah, he dreamt about Pubba, a younger Pubba, which is interesting. His dog was there. His stuffed dog.
Alive.
An alive stuffed dog licking
it. I was like, what the heck is this? And then I was like, oh, it's his dog.
The tree branches are all antlers. There's sick flowers in all the trees. Mm-hmm. You know, the blue flowers. Wink.
Yeah. No, I could call them purple flowers. I literally knew they were purple flowers the whole time.
I know. There was a mailbox full of candy. And like an obsessive weirdo, I wrote down the number on the mailbox, but I don't think that's going to be anything.
What was the number?
52719.
52719. I would ask Ryan to look it up, but if there's some sort of spoiler for the show, don't do it.
Right. That's right.
Well, I just won't tell you. How about that?
If I was like, oh, it's like 2814, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the Green Lantern sector of Earth.
Uh-huh. And actually, you want to know something? One of the Google search like autofill is like 52719 zip code, 52719 sweet tooth.
Before I
even finish,
what's the zip code for?
Oh, let's go back because I selected sweet tooth.
It's the zip code for Red Rocks.
It is confusing because it says it's a USA zip code and then it's for Guadalupe, Victoria, Mexico, which is not in the United States as near as I can tell. Okay, it also says Davenport, Iowa, potentially.
That makes more sense because nine
is in the United States.
With that, but also like 9 is on the West Coast and 0 is on the East Coast, so for 5 to be about in the middle there.
Maybe that's like Jeff Lemire's hometown or something. Is that his name, Jeff Lemire?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And yes, that's how it works, Ryan. Yeah, like all from here up to like Washington and Oregon, it's all going to start with 9.
I sent something to New York a couple days ago, and it was a 0-0-0, like 2-1 or something. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah, was that Mr. Burns' zip code?
Yeah.
Did you know that our interstate designations are the same way? That's why Pacific Coast Highway is number one.
Interesting.
On the left side, and it moves up. And then, so that's west to east. And then south to north, it's the same thing. It starts at lower numbers and it progresses up.
Oh, but damned. Cool. So that's why the 10 is all
there. I know something too.
Guys, I know stuff too, just not this kind of stuff.
Just not stupid stuff that nobody doesn't care about, nobody cares about.
So, anyhow, back to Gus's dream. His pubba says he's come a long way. It makes it seem that it's not a dream. It's more like a supernatural
vision.
Yeah, like he's talking to the soul of pubba. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I feel like Gus has been through a lot.
Yes.
And his dad was very, had a lot of, positive reinforcement.
Right.
So it's probably what he would dream about. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's if you think what we said, Gus is like 11, right? And he spent 1 year alone, and he spent 9 years of his life with one other person. Mm-hmm. I would expect him to dream about nothing less than pubba, like 24/7. It's the totality of his experience. Mm-hmm. But I will say that in Gus's dream, he sees General Abbott. That's supernatural. He's not seen General Abbott in real life. He can't have a dream about that without there being some supernatural element, in my opinion.
Unless...
Go on.
General Abbott is a bad guy.
Uh-huh.
And Gus was born in his facility, and maybe his dad was a worker and took him.
And so it's a memory that little baby Gus had.
Yeah.
That's implanted in there. Interesting. Yeah, that's possible. That's one possibility where it's not supernatural,
right? Or it could be some sort of mental telepathy through animals and hybrids, and they know about this guy.
We've demonstrated that Gus has powers. Well, I don't know if we want to. Yeah, I'll call him powers.
Yeah, let's call him powers.
He's got super sensitive hearing and smell, and he can talk to animals. Yeah. So yeah, maybe the animals know that the general is a bad guy because he's been causing problems, and they're trying to communicate it to Gus through his subconscious. I want to say Pubba said, "There are kids like you counting on you. Soon the world will see you." That sounds like a prophecy, for crying out loud.
Cool. Is that like, yeah, are they going to go to like some sort of TV station and send out a signal? Like maybe there hasn't been any sort of television. People right. seem to only communicate through like flyers. Ham radio flyers and, and they're only listening to like records and stuff.
Yeah, it seems like there's no mass communication. So for the world to see him.
So maybe he can go to Red Rocks. I'm assuming they have some sort of television feed.
Some sort of broadcast.
So they can show. So they can broadcast Yanni and John Tesh.
Ah, Teshy.
If I had Red Rocks, I would lick him.
So we get presented with the classic like rope bridge over a canyon scenario.
It's... Okay. Like, it literally looks like the only reason the bridge is there is to get around the flowers.
Yes, it does.
How do you build a bridge?
Without going down in the bottom. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I guess you have to go all the way around with an even bigger bridge.
Or just go find some nearby astronaut suits that are laying around, apparently.
From the parachuting guy, yeah.
Oh, that's what it was. Got it.
They took the... Bear took the guy's suit and helmet and Big Man wrapped himself up in the parachute.
Got it. Okay.
But I love Big Man's reaction looking at the rope bridge. It's kind of like a Galaxy Quest when it's like straight on through the chompers and Sigourney Weaver says, oh, fuck that. I think she technically says screw that, but you can tell from her mouth.
They 80-yard it.
I think so, yeah.
Can I say something real quick? Like, sure. Okay, so in I Think You Should Leave season 2, there's a sketch with these with a kid's commercial for a doll that shits itself but lies about it. Great concept. And it keeps saying that it no longer has farts in its head.
Right.
Because the employee who was farting in the heads...
Got fired.
But if you look at their mouths, it doesn't look like they're saying farts.
Oh, like are they saying shit, maybe?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
But
I'll have to watch. I'll watch that one again with my lip reading skills.
I'll watch it again 20 times before season 3.
Right. That's a good point.
Sigourney Weaver. Oh, yeah, the bridge.
Yeah, so
it's a little silly, but it's also like one of those things where you can just be like, "Oh, it's a comic book. It's a fantasy.
It's a classic dramatic element that you have to cross the rickety bridge,
right?
And then poor old Gus, of course, falls through. And it's not even the big man stepping on it that makes it break. It's little tiny little Gus.
Yeah, who's probably got like light deer bones.
He probably does. And they had to go through the flowers to get him. And like. It's clear that they're afraid of the flowers. We know the flowers are associated right. with the sick. Mm-hmm. They believe the flowers can cause the sick.
Which I don't believe.
I don't either. I think it's the sick is like a virus and the flowers are somehow associated with it. But it's like Dorothy and the
the
cowardly poppies. Lion in the poppies, yeah. Oh, shit. I lost my connection to my notes. I have to log back in. Give me a second.
But I do like that it shows that they were willing to go in there.
Right. Put aside their differences and go help Gus. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we also have to talk about the Amy and the preserve.
Oh, yeah. And Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby, who rides the line between Uncanny Valley and cute.
No line ridden. He is on the other side of not cute to me.
Not cute? Yeah, okay.
No.
It's the eyes, maybe.
It's such a, like, Chuck E. Cheese puppet. Like, it's so... I don't know. But, I mean, it's better than CGI, right?
It depends.
Maybe the execution, is it the design that gets you, Ryan? It's got to be the design, right?
I think it's just the... It's what we talked about last time. It's totally the Beesbo connection. He's in overalls and he doesn't get things. But we have to over-explain stuff to him. He's not providing any value for me.
Is he not a beaver?
No, he must be some sort of mole or gopher. Yeah. He's got all those tunnels.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the big flat tail.
Right, that too. Amy's got him like doing work for him.
Good.
Like, he's like running around in tunnels, and he's doing some sort of secret project that she won't tell Pigtail about. They over the radio, someone mentions that they've got a hybrid possum baby, but Amy thinks it's like a trap, so she won't go and help. Right. But they've got a fair few amount of hybrid kids there at the preserve.
Right.
They refer to Junior, who's part owl, Henry, who has a shell.
A bat and a pig.
Bears and rhinos.
So I feel like some time has passed between the time we got introduced to Bobby and this time.
I think you're right, yeah.
So I feel like maybe Bobby might be going out to look for hybrids to sort of bring back.
To scout.
Yeah. And Bobby didn't bring back this possum.
No. She gave up on that one. She was like, never mind. And she said that some of them are more animal than human. So,
well, obviously Bobby is.
Yes, that's for sure.
But she gets the pink tape.
Yes.
We find the pink tape on the...
on the fence outside the preserve.
Yeah.
And a lot of it.
That's bad news.
That means that the last men are onto her.
Yeah, because I saw the pink tape and I'm like, oh, just take it off. And then I realize there's a bunch of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she could still just take it off. It's weird that it's getting marked. What is it getting marked for? Is there
It's like a visual thing for us, you know? It's just a TV show thing.
It's a storytelling thing, not a real...
It's a storytelling thing. Yeah, because in real life, you know, the guy that's marking them is not going to, like... I'm not going to tell you where it is. I did my job, Frank. I put the pink tape down. You fucking find it, you know?
Right. I mean, you can literally just say, let's go. Like, putting the pink tape up gets you noticed. It makes Amy start putting up defenses. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's within the world of the story, I don't know if it's actually justified. But
unless it's some sort of intimidation tactic.
Perhaps. Yeah. Like, we're coming for you.
Yeah. I don't know. Because they didn't mark up the visitor center on the waterfall. They just showed up.
No, they just came right in. You're right. Yeah. And they knew that Gus was there, so it's not... I was thinking, like, well, maybe they didn't mark it up because they didn't think of those hybrids, but no, that they were going there for that. So, yeah. I don't... oh, I'm sorry.
I thought you just shut down.
Goodbye. No, I was looking at my notes, and when Dr. Singh and Ronnie, or Ms. Singh, are being saved by Abbott, it's kind of like a, like... Oh, great. I guess I'm saved. Is that really what I want? To be saved and now be like beholden to and working for General Abbott?
That's what I was wondering, if he's done anything bad.
Right.
Maybe he just knocked out that doctor and he's taking her and Dr. Singh to the same place to come up with the bee in their lab to work for them.
But in terms of things we've seen him do, he saved two people from death by fire.
Right.
Like, he's morally up, as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
But to suit his own means, though, right? Like, altruistic is that?
I also think, like, what you're saying is true in terms of, like, we haven't seen him do that much bad stuff, but I think we can go off of the Gladys's reaction to him, that he must not be a good guy, in her opinion. But also, she's torturing hybrid kids, so what does she know?
Yeah, she's an a-hole, too.
That's right.
Maybe he's going to take her to some stables and... have her get kicked a bunch.
Oh no, Trixie the horse is on a rampage now. We forgot to mention that Bear did give Gus a packet on Birdie, like we were anticipating.
Right. We didn't see what was in the packet, huh?
It was. I tried looking a couple times, and it was so unclear that I figured I wasn't going to try.
Okay, that's good. It'll probably tell us next episode.
I think there was like a partial address or something. Maybe her address is 52719. No, that's an Iowa we determined.
But maybe that's the mom. I don't know if that's actually true. I think that was a bad Google search result.
It might be the house number, you know, instead of a zip code. But true. That's kind of high for a house number. Bear calls the place where the rope bridge is the Valley of Sorrows. Which is a bit much. I mean,
unless a bunch of people died there.
Well, clearly, with all the flowers, they must have. But were they all people that were living in a grass field?
No, but they could have been rounded up and pushed into the
ravine. Pretty sorrowful. That's pretty sorrowful.
Pretty bad.
It's yeah. It's no. It's just a name. It's actually more of a ravine than a valley.
Schweitzer Falls.
Exactly.
So stupid.
Again and again with Gus like falling off the rope bridge, it was like here he is high up. High, you're up on a rope bridge. It's high. There's peril there. And he falls down. If there was never a moment where I was like, oh my God, he died falling off that bridge. And that's right. The end of Sweet Tooth.
Right. Once again, proving the point that there's no suspense in the Gus storyline.
Yep. I believe it.
Which is fine.
This is fine.
I don't think I need to be anxious about a kid getting murdered.
Poor little dear Gus. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I got.
If Dr. Singh and his wife died, would he be Dr. Sang? The past tense of Sing.
I get it.
I was saying when you were saying, what if Gus died? It was like, would that be Swoat Tooth? Like, is Sweet is Swoat the past tense of Sweet? Oh, dude. That doesn't make any sense.
No, but I like it.
Yeah, I don't have much more. I'm excited to we're hitting the end here. We have three more episodes. I'm not sure what the next one's called, but I'm sure we'll interpret the title of it.
It's called Stranger Danger on a Train.
Oh, that's right. We found that the train does go through this section of wilderness. It may not stop there, but it seems like they're going to be able to get on the train.
That seems like their intent is, yeah.
So who is the stranger on the train?
Who's the danger? It's clearly a reference to Stranger Danger, the 80s
yeah.
fear-mongering, and Strangers on a Train, the Hitchcock film.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to get Abbott on the train? Is this going to be... I mean, considering after next episode, we're only going to have two left. It's time for them to come together.
These storylines have to start coming together, yeah, pretty soon. And I'm still wondering if we're going to see Josh Brolin as a character, because whoever brought that up last time...
James Brolin. No, it would be interesting to see Josh Brolin.
No, I wonder if we're going to see James Brolin as a character in the show. I'm still looking forward to figuring out if that happens. But yeah,
unless he's as the guy on the billboard, like,
yeah,
that reinforce that, or did they blow their shot to have James Brolin in the show because they did like a funny little cameo?
It could be going back to the TV angle where I thought like maybe he could do a broadcast, and then you find James Brolin. Who's telling the story over the air.
Right. Like
the airwaves. And he says, and now I'm introducing you to Gus, the talking hybrid.
Right.
Who also kicks field goals.
Yes. Speak for yourself, moron.
God. So, if they don't run into Abbott and Sing on the train.
Hey.
Hey, Abbott. If it's just a couple of random last men, that's fine too. But it's too late, don't you think, to introduce a new major character for them to run into?
And the fact that they're saying stranger, mm-hmm. I feel like that means one main person, like...
Not like a random last man.
Like, or a couple of last men or whatever. Something's got to come together. Maybe we'll get Sing and that lady, Doctor, and that dude, Abbott. Smuggling on a train. And then they see Gus.
Snuggling on a train. Well, that's it for me, I think.
Woo, 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 woo. Ryan's trying to wrap it up. It says my name next to your name.
See, even Ralph confuses. What was that? It does?
Yeah, it's because you're in the darkness. I don't know who that is. Who's that person? Oh, there you go.
All right, guys, let's start to wrap it up.
That's it.
Ah, producer Jim.
Stop the recording.
I say we let him go.
Go to darmlars.net and add darmlars.
Recording stopped.
That sounded a little softer than normal.
You're getting used to it. It's like they do with aversion therapy. Like they introduce you to what you're afraid of over and over again, right?
But you did the creepier voice before it.
So yeah, you're still scared?
No, but it like softened her.
Oh, I see.
That makes complete sense.
Yeah.